Scripture reading is Psalm 145, Praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed. I will declare your greatness. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Praise be to God.
Thank you, Robin. You didn't Google that, but with our Wi-Fi here, you could have, right there from the microphone.
Awesome.
Awesome. One of the most overused words the past two decades. Awesome. Awesome in its original form, which meant awesome. Psalm 145 is the only song, psalm out of 150 labeled praise, the psalm of praise. The only one. Look it up, you'll see. And the Talmud, which is the great Jewish commentary on the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures. In the Talmud it says, I'm paraphrasing here, you want to see heaven? Recite Psalm 145 four times a day. I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what it says. And it's an acrostic, the entire psalm from beginning to end. That means that each line begins with the next letter of the alphabet till it gets to the middle, and then it descends back the other way. The Jewish writers were poets and great artists, and they loved wordplay, they loved puns, they loved poetic imagery and language. And so they would do something like an acrostic, first of all, kind of as a clever discipline as they're trying to praise God, but also to suggest to you that the topic is all-encompassing. So if we use every letter of the alphabet to explain praise, well, that must mean that praise is very important. Praising God is very important. And the sermon today is in praise of praise. And praise filters down from the loving parent, mother, father, or however you're comfortable referring to God, from the loving parent to us. And when we praise back to God, have you ever had those moments where you just say a sincere thank you to God or say, wow, God, in a way? It doesn't just feel like you're saying something nice, does it? There's this power. There's this like core of power when you are praising God. And you know me, I'm not going to get all fundamentalist on you. I'm not going to even get all charismatic on you. But it's a great charisma from the original Greek. It's a great gift to be able to praise God. And when you do it sincerely, it changes you in a way. And I believe that the way it changes you is you open a little more and God says, oh, isn't that a nice cozy place? And rushes in just a little bit more and boom. There you are. So in praise of praise, it's important. It's important to spend some time praising God. And during the course of this sermon, you're going to preach part of it, because in a little while, I'm going to ask you to share your praises. I'm going to ask you to stand up as you are able and share a praise. It's coming. But I don't want you to think about that right now, because I got more to say. All right? Discipline. Discipline. Praise. Fruit of the Spirit of love. And praise is vital in those fruits of the Spirit, of love especially. We've already decided that it is all-encompassing. It is very important, according to the Jewish writers. It should be very important, according to us, too. They were very close to God, and they had a pretty good idea of how to worship and how to love back when God loves us. And it works in our relationships as well. Praise, well stated, can do wonders for another human being. Now, that doesn't mean that if these guys had messed up, if it turned out that Chris was a lousy singer, which of course it didn't turn out, but if it had turned out that they had made a complete hash of something, the worst thing you can do for a band is go up to them and tell them they're great when they know they weren't. You guys were great. But you would agree with that, wouldn't you? Don't you hate it when you mess something up and someone says, oh, you were fantastic. It's like, oh man, you throwing me that bone because you think I'm that pathetic? Now, praise, when it's sincere, when it's real, is a marvelous thing. I'll give you an example from my own life, from when I was in high school, actually. I was one of a dozen kids at Bloomfield class of 81 that made it all the way to calculus class. And I was in calculus class. And funny thing, when I went to college and took calculus, I aced it. But when I was in high school, it's the strangest thing how you don't pick something up when you don't do the homework. It's just, you know. And so I'm in calculus class. I've got a terrible case of senioritis. There's 11 other people in the class with me, and one or two had already dropped out, and it's just us, and everyone else is doing real well in calculus, and I'm not. And my teacher was Carol Bacon, who, God rest her soul, I loved her. And so I'm gradually blowing it and just tumbling down the stairs of my academic career in calculus because I'm not doing the work. I've got so many other things I want to do. Wayne Barker and I are planning a show, and I'm working at the Holloway House washing dishes, the floor and half the wall because I can't control the sprayer. And I got so much other stuff going on in my life, and my whole life is humming except for this one period of the day. And we took a test. And Carol, who I never got the chance to call her by her first name, darn it. Carol hands back the completed test. And everyone's like, woohoo, yeah, all right. And I'm looking at my test, and it's got like a 54 on it on the top. And in red letters, circled, underlined twice. And Carol had taught my genius older brother. I don't know, did Carol ever teach you? No. It's a good thing, or it would have been even worse for me. And I was just this kid. And she said something to me that I'm going to be sharing. They asked me to talk to the retired teachers of Bloomfield and say how I became what I became. Oh boy, they made a mistake. And I'm going to share this story with them. So I'm in a room with 11 of my classmates that I've worked with for the past 12 or 13 years. Most of that time, outdistanced them academically, but not anymore. And everyone's celebrating a great test, and I bombed it. And through the course of doing some problems on the board, she writes down a problem and asks for an answer. And I say, I just don't know. And everyone else is really quiet. And she says to me, Corey, your problem is you're just ready for the next thing. You are ready for college right now. And when you get there, you're going to shine. Wow. You know, she could have said any number of things to me. She could have said, well, you know, you'd know this stuff if you do the work. It would have been fitting and appropriate. She could have said, well, you're just in over your head. Have you considered dropping the course? She didn't say that. What she said instead was a form of praise that I've carried with me the rest of my life. That would have been the spring of 1981. That would have been 30 years ago, more than 30 years ago. And I'm still carrying that with me to this day, because what she chose to do was praise me in a way that would give me hope and move me forward. She praised me in a way that redeemed me in front of my peers. And I'm thinking, this woman had to have been planning this ahead of time. That kind of a statement doesn't just come tumbling out of your mouth. I don't care if you're Mother Teresa. It doesn't just come tumbling out of your mouth. So at some point over the course of the week or the night or who knows what when she graded the test, she thought about me. And she thought, what can I say to this punk that'll put a boot in his butt but simultaneously a song in his heart, a positive thought in his head? Now that's love. That's love. And when we talk about praise, we're not talking about the empty variety of praise. Of, yes, dear, that's fine. I love that clay imprint of your hand. I didn't realize you had seven fingers. You know, it's not the thing we have to say to get over the embarrassment we feel. It's not the thing we feel obligated to say. It's the thing that comes from our heart to build up another person. And when it's praise of God, it's the thing that comes from our heart because we realize how much we've been built up. Now, I've told a few people that Carol Bacon's story, just a few, and I'm going to tell a bunch more of her colleagues that story. I deeply regret that I never had the opportunity before she passed to tell her what she meant to me. What that one statement meant to me. And I don't know if she probably remembered me because I was memorable in all the wrong ways, but I don't know that she even remembers saying it. But that's the power of praise. The power of praise is far beyond the lips of the person who speaks the praise. The power of praise is that spirit of love from God working in its very best way. And so if you take that spirit of love from God and you speak that, you open your mouth and let it flow from God through you to the people in your lives, you make a huge difference that you might not even see right away, but a huge difference. And then think if you set up this loop where you take that power from God and you speak it back to God. And God speaks it back to you, and you speak it back to God. And it builds, and it grows, and it heals your heart. It fills you full of love and God stuff. Praise is a key to life, to love, to all that is sacred and holy. So now, what I would like to do, now that I have offered up my praise for such a brilliant and wonderful human being as Carol Bacon, and Carol, I hope you're listening up there. I know you're not down there, you angel, you. I offer you the opportunity to stand up and speak out some praise to God that you might have in your life. We'll be patient. We'll take our time. Who wants to be first? Okay, Bonnie. Oh, beautiful. Thank you, Paul. Next. Yes, Elizabeth. It's allowed. It is definitely allowed. One of your angels is kind of shaggy, but he's all right. Any other?
Yes, please. I have more prayers than anything besides son and Paul. And in risk of a wild love fest, he can follow this thing. Corey, you are. And Ron, you are. And all of you are. I'm just so grateful for how welcoming this congregation and its leaders are at kids. When my Robert first got here, I wasn't that great.
Shameless plug here, our show Saturday night opens with her son Robert singing ABC, and Michael Jackson has nothing on that kid. Here's what I want to do. Distill it down to a few meaningful words for yourself, and at the count of three, let's all offer our praise to God for that. Those few words. Come right out. Ready? You guys ready? Think for a moment. Reflect. One, two, two and a half. Three. You cheat. What a wonderful thing the power of praise can be. And my assignment for you throughout this day and throughout this week is to praise God every chance you get and praise the people in your life in the most meaningful of ways every chance you get. And praise of praise. Praise sticks. And praise is the antidote for those negative tape loops we get, for those nasty things that sometimes are experienced. Praise is the antidotes for so much hurt in the world. So, your assignment this week is to praise. Praise your God and share God's praise with each other. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, we aren't this kind of church, but can I please get an amen? Work on it. No, you were good. That was good. This is not our nature. That was very good. I will praise you for coming out of your comfort zone. That's very good. Oh, mercy.